Chapter 9. And the manly courtesy of the tailor, Morgina very likely forgot the gallant captain, or, at least, was very happy in his absence. At 8 o'clock they began to drive homewards. "Aunt, you come into the carriage?" said Morgina to Eglanton, with one of her tenderest looks. "Dick can ride the horse." But Archibald was too great a lover of equestrian exercise. "I'm afraid to trust anybody on this horse," said he with a knowing look, and so he pranced away by the side of the little carriage. The moon was brilliant, and, with the aid of the gas lamps, illuminated the whole face of the country in a way inexpressibly lovely. Presently, in the distance, the sweet and plaintive notes of a bugle were heard, and the performer, with great delicacy, executed a religious air. "Music to heavenly," said Morgina, throwing up her eyes to the stars. The music came nearer and nearer, and the delight of the company was only more intense. The fly was going at about 4 miles an hour, and the burr began cantering, to time at the same rapid pace. "This must be some gallantry of yours, Mr. Woolsey," said the romantic Morgina, turning upon that gentleman. "Mr. Eglanton treated us to the dinner, and you have provided us with the music." Now Woolsey had been a very little, dissatisfied during the course of the evening's entertainment, by fancying that Eglanton, a much more voluble person than himself, had obtained rather an undue share of the lady's favor, and as he himself paid half of the expenses, he felt very much vexed to think that the perfumer should take all the credit of the business to himself. So when Miss Crump asked if he had provided the music, he foolishly made an evasive reply to her query, and rather wished her to imagine that he had performed that piece of gallantry. "If it pleases you, Miss Morgina," said this artful Schneider, "what more need any man ask? Wouldn't I have all Drury Lane Orchestra to please you?" The bugle had by this time arrived quite close to the Clarence carriage, and if Morgina had looked round she might have seen whence the music came. Behind her came slowly a drag, or private stagecoach, with 4 horses. 2 grooms with cockades and folded arms were behind, and driving on the box, a little gentleman, with a blue bird's eye neckcloth, and a white coat. A bugleman was by his side, who performed the melodies which so delighted Miss Crump. He played very gently and sweetly, and, odd save the king, trembled so softly out of the brazen orifice of his bugle, that the Crumps, the tailor, and Eglanton himself, who was riding close by the carriage, were quite charmed and subdued. "Thank you, dear Mr. Woolsey," said the grateful Morgina, which made Eglanton stare, and Woolsey was just saying, "Really, upon my word, I've nothing to do with it," when the man on the drag box said to the bugleman, "Now." The bugleman began the tune of "Even Preserve Our Emperor Francis, Rum Tum Ti Titty T." At the sound, the burr reared himself with a roar from Mr. Eglanton, reared, and beat the air with his forepaws. Eglanton flung his arms round the beast's neck. Still he kept beating time with his forepaws. Mrs. Crump screamed. Mr. Woolsey, Dick, the Clarence coachman, Lord Vauxhall, for it was he, and his lordship's 2 grooms, burst into a shout of laughter. Morgina cries, "Mercy! Mercy!" Eglanton yells, "Top! O.H.," and 1,000 ejaculations of hideous terror, until, at last, down drops the Emperor stone dead in the middle of the road, as if carried off by a cannonball. Fancy the situation, ye callous souls who laugh at the misery of humanity, fancy the situation of poor Eglanton under the burr. He had fallen very easy, the animal lay perfectly quiet, and the perfumer was to all intents and purposes as dead as the animal. He had not fainted, but he was immovable with terror. He lay in a puddle, and thought it was his own blood gushing from him, and he would have lain there until Monday morning, if my lord's grooms, descending, had not dragged him by the coat collar from under the beast, who still lay quiet. "Play Charming Judy Callahan, apostrophe will ye?" says Mr. Snaffle's man, the fly driver, on which the bugler performed that lively air, and up started the horse, and the grooms, who were rubbing Mr. Eglanton down against a lamp post, invited him to remount. But his heart was too broken for that. The ladies gladly made room for him in the clearance. Dick mounted, burr, and rode homewards. The drag, too, drove away, playing H dear, what can the matter be? And with a scowl of furious hate, Mr. Eglanton sat, and regarded his rival. His pantaloons were split, and his coat torn up the back. Are you hurt much, dear Mr. Archibald? Said Morgina, with unaffected compassion. And not much, said the poor fellow, ready to burst into tears. Oh, Mr. Woolsey, added the good-natured girl, how could you play such a trick? Upon my word, Woolsey began, intending to plead innocence, but the ludicrousness of the situation was once more too much for him, and he burst out into a roar of laughter. You cowardly beast, howled out Eglanton, now driven to fury, oh you laugh at me, you miserable critter. Take that, sir. And he fell upon him with all his might, and well nigh throttled the tailor, and pummeling his eyes, his nose, his ears, with inconceivable rapidity, wrenched, finally, his wig off his head, and flung it into the road. Morgina saw that Woolsey had red hair. 2. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.